I was for like 2 months now, Kyoto get internet for house. So yeah, you have to deal with me again hosting. And we have a very, very, very special guest returning for us for the second time this season. We have Danny K himself returning.
Oluwa Tete
himself.
Charlie. No, but it's a true story. They reply to your tweets.
Me, yeah, I don't believe you. I don't believe.
You see, say that they do some juggling for the this, and they say, as in they read it, it right now, get up, they say, Charlie, read them fast, read them.
And as usual, you get to be part of the show via Zoom. You gotta put the Zoom ID on the speaker and the water guy, we will have you on. Alright? So stay with us. It's expected to be a packed show.
Yeah, so for context, for those who didn't listen to that particular episode, and for those who don't know the tweets you are talking about, apparently your man be superstar for school, oh, back in CTK, then your man be superstar.
Hey.
Superstar footballer. And back then, you're like, you're the Messi for the school inside.
No,
Ronaldo, you're the Ronaldo for the school inside. Yeah, Charlie. But Yoda, what's up?
I did, Charlie. Long week, but we didn't, Sash. I missed the days, but we cool. I hope everybody we cool. Danny K, awesome. As the way they smile, I know why you should cool.
No, the topics, they excite me. The topics really excite
me. It excites you, man.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, me, since we are very excited to hear the topics, let's just jump right into it. And obviously, we are going to start with the Black Stars. This past week, they've played 2 games in the World Cup qualifiers. They've won back-to-back. And for context, this is the first time since October 2021 that the Black Stars have won back-to-back games, back-to-back competitive games.
Yeah.
So, Otuado's start to the Black Stars, like his return to the Black Stars, has been very impressive. For me, it's far better than I expected. I didn't have high hopes. And I know it's still early days, but let me start with Danny K. How do you feel about the performance in his first 2 games coming back as Black Stars manager?
I saw a lot of improvement in terms of performance. Look, let's be honest, there are still problems. And there will still, by all means, there will still be problems. It's just 4 games. He had, what, I think 5 training sessions before the Mali game and an extra 2 before the game against Central African Republic. So, for me, international football, you obviously don't have a lot of contact time with your players. So, these things are expected. And it will take time for him to fully, or the players to fully grasp the ideas that he wants and for them to be on the same page. So me, I'm happy. Performance-wise, there are still some rough edges there, but as expected, the team is still a work in progress. I always say it is much better to win games whilst you are fixing your problems than to not get results. So for me, Otuado, 4 games in, he's ticked all the boxes for me. And you see, let's look at things in context. You look at from the AFCON, in fact, even before the AFCON, if you look at the AFCON qualifiers at the beginning of this World Cup qualifiers, there was one thing a lot of us was complaining about. First of all, it was character, the lack of character in the team and our inability to create chances and score goals. Then in the space of, is it 2 months or 3 months from March till now, we saw the team create chances for fun against Mali and create chances for fun against Central African Republic. We scored 6 goals in 2 games. That's an average of 3. And we had a ton of chances in the game. Yes, the defensive problems still remain. We understand that. But at least we are seeing improvement in a certain aspect of the field. It's the same players, but this time there's much more fluidity. There's creativity in the team. Players have picked up form. Attacking players have picked up form. And another thing, in the game against Mali, a telling thing is that if you go back 3-4 months ago, in fact, the last 2-3 years, if Kudus had a bad game, Ghana was having a bad game. But Kudus didn't do well against Mali. We still played really good and got the result. So it shows that we are building a team and we are not over-reliant on players. It's not built on individual ability. It's a team effort. And for me, Otuado is doing a really good job. And we just need to back him. I understand the skepticism with a lot of people because it comes because of the consistency of poor results. You understand? When a vim is low, a lot of people don't want to raise their hopes too high. So me, I understand that. But especially for people like myself, for in the media space, we need to assess the issue and be frank about it. It's not like, I don't like the tagging Otuaro about his inexperience, he's a trainer. Those things are not necessary. They are really not necessary. He's been given the job, and whether we like it or not, he's been given the job. So what you can do is to support. And I would rather support somebody who is showing me working. He got up and he qualified as for the World Cup. We were in the group of death in the World Cup. Most people didn't want to put it into context. But when you look at FIFA rankings, we had the toughest in terms of the highest ranked. In fact, three of the teams in our group were in the top 15 of FIFA rankings. And we finished with 3 points. And we still had a lifeline on the last day. So some of these things, you can just tell that with a bit more experience, with a bit more time, it could easily have been better. And he's come back in his first two competitive games. We've won 2 out of 2, 6 points. Now we are joint top. And all of a sudden, USA, Mexico, Canada looks very realistic. Whereas 2 weeks ago, we were afraid because of that pursuing guy. So for Otuaro, me, I'm a total believer in him. I really, like, you can see the ideas. And you can see that the ideas are solid. And with time, look, it's only the sky is the limit. This team is on the right track for me.
Wangeora, I hope you're able to catch the games. And how do you feel about...
I watched both games. Not usually I wouldn't, because Charlie, you black stars me. But for some weird reason, it just felt like, maybe it's because it's also the off season and I just need some football in my blood, man.
Yeah.
I can't deal with this no football. So I make happy say the Euros they start tomorrow. But I watched both games, and as Danny said, I was very impressed by the performance of the black stars. First thing I'll speak about is culture. I think, and I remember that during Otuado's press conference at his unveiling, he spoke a lot about culture. He kept saying emphasis, he wants to change the culture. And one of the culture was our over-reliance, as Danny said, on kudos or on our star players. That if those people are not doing well, then the entire team is not doing well. But what did we see in the first two matches? That even if our best players are not doing well relatively, other people are, like, they've said it in their mind, I have to do well. Kind of a thing, and yeah. I don't, and I'm very happy with that, because having that kind of mentality means that everybody comes to training, or comes to when they get a call up to come and play for the Black Stars, they don't come with an air of I'll get to play because I am this, but they come with I would have to work hard on the training pitch to convince the manager to get into the team. Johnson, let me give you a typical example. Somebody like Abdul Mumin, I don't know the guy. I've heard that he plays in La Liga. He's good. But I remember the first game against Mali when he came in. Bro, that's what Lidu said. Do me that I'm getting beef. That guy. But I said at this time, I won't blast them because everybody did well, to the best of their ability at least. But we were very leaky on that side, that right center back. That space between the right back and the right center back. Ali Dusedu, even though he's a right back by trade and was being deployed in the right center back space, I think the reasoning was, as a right back, if Tariq goes for it, he can adequately cover that space.
Yeah.
But bro, the Mali, the Charlie, the Mawinga, then they use some, then they drink him like Hausa Kuku. But immediately Abdul Mumin stepped in on the pitch. That was it. That nonsense stopped. Like, they couldn't attack down that flank anymore. They had to now go through the middle or on the other side at Gideon Mensah, who didn't have a good game in the Mali game. But I think he improved in the Central Africa Republic game. Now, if you come to the Central Africa Republic game, Salisu didn't have a good game. Mo Salisu didn't have a good game. At least from what I saw, I think he didn't have a good game at all. His passing was choppy. And yes, I our pitch is horrible, which is another thing we have to talk about. Charlie, them pass the ball one. No, I see, yeah, Bami, we die. So I see, Mali step them are pitching nice like this. See one on. If them pass and all that, it the bubble. Like, I was so worried because, again, Otuado's teams seem to like playing the ball to feet. They don't like hoofing. They like playing the ball to feet. They like intricate passing. And that game only works on a good pitch. But thankfully, them play on a lot of Sakura pitch. So then just wear them an inner Sakura pitch. Find way play that, but the passing and generally the defending by Salisu was not good, and then Mumin comes and replaces him, and immediately he brings some stability to the back. He's shielding the ball well, he's passing well, he's catching out passes, he's covering space, he's blocking chances. And I think that that's important. Everybody is trying their best. I can't speak to one previous Black Stars matches. Look at the AFCON and last year qualifiers. You bring in a substitute, and even the substitute is worse than the player that you took off. You know, but in these two games from Otuado, every substitute that came on, it's like they have a point to put. Even like, what's his name? Bradley. Is it called Bradley?
Or Brandon. Thomas Asante.
That guy. He said, he comes, they give some 1-2 touches, then they run to. I say, bro, who by last week? You know? But, and personally for me, that was very important. Like, just that team spirit, that culture. And the only way you can build that is by winning. And oh dear, whether I like it or not, as you win, the players believe what you are doing, and then they believe one another, they trust one another. Oh, if I'm not even having a good game, you know, this guy can cover me, or this guy can come in, and they will have no problems, and everybody will be willing to fight for the match. So kudos to Otuado. If he plays another match and he doesn't do well, we'll come and sit here, we'll see it again. But so far, me, I'm satisfied. You know, I wasn't happy with his appointment, you know, because the guy who was tasked to go and search for him, I think it was insanity to appoint him to search for him again. But he's coming, and he's even the first two friendly matches he played that we lost. I think we lost both, if I'm not mistaken.
One loss, one draw.
Even in those games, you could see immediately some kind of imprint. We were passing better, we were going forward. Hey, Chris Sutton, he worry we. But I was happy. I'm very happy that at least we've put qualification to the World Cup in our own hands, and we know that we know what to do to go forward. Unlike some other team for the West Africa, sorry.
Yeah, like Bangiora was saying, for me too, I was very skeptical about his appointment. And saying skeptical is an understatement. I was against his appointment, but I'm going to judge him by what I'm seeing. I'm not going to use any pre-held ideas I had about him. So yeah, he's impressed me in these first two competitive games we've played. I was a bit worried when I saw the changes for the second game, because I didn't like the idea that he had changed the entire front three. Usually, I think in competitive games, you shouldn't make too many changes like that, but in the end, it all worked out. And one of the changes he made that worked out was Jordan Ayew. Jordan Ayew gave us a hat-trick. And now, I think it's 5 goals in his last 6 games or so.
For Ghana. 8 goals in 8 games.
Charlie, he gotta stop on his fingertips. So Charlie, 8 goals in 8 games. This one is simple. Do you feel vindicated after all the
criticism? Of course. No, you see, football is a very interesting sport. And I always tell people around me, look, there are examples for every situation that you find yourself in. Like, when I'm defending something, when I'm speaking for something, there's always something that has happened similar to what we are seeing. When I was constantly defending John Dad in the past, I mentioned the fact that, look, he was basically doing what the coaches had asked him to do. Our inability to score, or Jordan's inability to score, was Ghana's inability to score from wide areas. And people were being unfair because they would criticize Jordan alone, but forgetting that whoever was playing on the other side of the wing was also not scoring. Like, our wide areas were just still in terms of creativity. So when that thing happens, you can't blame individuals. You start blaming the system. Because, yes, Jordan was a constant. But how come everybody else who played on the other side was also equally as bad offensively as Jordan? So then, for me, it was just basically instruction. And you could see, none of our wide players were entering dangerous areas trying to like, it was rare situations where you see somebody pick up a ball and try and go past the player and try and create a chance. That's just basically what it was. And for me, when you look at the defensive numbers he was putting during that period and the way Ghana was playing, you could clearly tell that, look, he was asked to do that thing for somebody else to benefit. And if you look at how little defensive duties that Kudus had during that time, Kudus literally used to walk on the pitch with Milo and Chris Hilton. He was walking. And then the rest of them will do the hard work, and then Kudus will shine, and Kudus gets the praise, and the rest of them get the slack. And I told them, look, me, I'm a man, you fan. take it back to like 2007 to like 2009 when Ronaldo left to Real Madrid. That's basically what Rooney was doing. We were dissing Rooney back then, but in hindsight, everybody says Rooney was a good player. But during that time, people were dissing Rooney for not getting offensive numbers, only for him to finish his career and say he didn't like what he was doing, but he had to do it because that was the job. And for me, I really value players like that, especially attacking players. Because, Charlie, I'll tell you, do you think Jordan likes to see Kudu score all the goals and he's there chucking somebody in? You think he doesn't think he can do some? He obviously feels he can do some, but Charlie, that's the job he's been given, so he has to do it. And interestingly enough, after the game against Central African Republic, he said it. He's been played out of position for a very long time in club and country, but he doesn't complain. He does the job. Vieira spoke about what he playing him out of position and the fact that he valued the work he was doing off the ball. Roy Hodgson also spoke about it. Yet when it comes to Ghana, once the Jordan are you don't close their ears to anything. Now, and I during that time, to also mention that, look, anytime, even with the Black Stars, that Jordan is given an attacking role, he does it and he does it really well. Go back to the World Cup against South Korea. We set up that day to attack. Jordan created two of the goals. He had one of his best games for the Black Stars. In fact, it was after that game where I think it was Sunny Dara who tweeted, Jordan, are you apology form? People should come and apologize for dissing him in the game against. Yeah. The point is, when he's given a task, whatever task you give him on the pitch, he'll do it. It might not be nice to fans, but from a technical point of view, he's doing it and he's doing it well. This time, Otuado has come. He's looked at the number nine situation. He has seen that, look, there's only one boss in the team. He slips Jordan inside, comes last 15 minutes, bangs the winning goal. And in fact, he could have set up the winning goal before even scoring it. Because that pass to Partey, I don't know why people are talking about it. That pass he gave to Partey, look, it is the best pass we've seen this year in football. No. Hold on. You guys are laughing.
Wait. Hold up. It's the best pass I've seen
in football
this year. Clarify, is it national team football or just football?
Football as Baba Yara.
The way FIFA does Puskas Award, if they do an award for passes, that pass is the best we've seen. No, if Partey has scored there, that would have gone one of the greatest assists African football has ever seen. Do you know why? Look, when the TV camera doesn't see a pass, then you know how good the pass is. Like, we were watching the TV. We didn't even see there was space between the two defenders who had covered and Partey. All of a sudden, bah, the guy played a pin inside. No, Partey can't reach the ball. So, Charlie, like, and then come to the Central African Republic game. He does off the ball work. Obviously, Jordan will give you everything. And then a hat trick. Charlie, like, me, that's why me, I mentioned the stats. Me, numbers don't lie. Whatever job you give him, they say he should attack this year. 8 games, 8 goals. And Mirana, if you talk about Jordan, I'll ask you a simple question. How many hat-tricks has your favorite scored for the national team? Simple question I will ask you. If you can't answer, then we did it. Right now, Jordan has 2 hat-tricks for Black Stars. Asamoah never scored a hat-trick for the Black Stars. Andre Ayew has never scored a hat-trick for the Black Stars. Jordan has two. And the latest one is in a competitive game. And the Baba Yaza. The last time somebody scored a hat trick in the Baba Yaza, unless you go and ask Kawawa, he get the. But the last time somebody scored a hat trick at the Baba Yaza Sports Stadium, we don't see some before. So we have to go back into history. And right now, if somebody tells you that Jordan has more goals for Black Stars than Dede, most people will not believe it. You see, it's all about narratives. When you repeat something that is not true and it is false over and over and over and over again, it creates this impression. All of a sudden, like, people think that, Dede has been so good for the Black Stars goals. Dede has scored important. Yes, Dede has scored important goals. But the consistency of Jordan, like, you can't overlook it, though. Jordan is now, he's 4 goals away from catching up with his dad. And those 4 goals, by the time the year ends, he will score them. Next year, right now, he catches 28 goals. Asamoah, 51 year, you know, we catch. But by the time Jordan retires, Jordan could easily be the second highest goal scorer in the history of the country. And you see, numbers like that, you can't, it's not about somebody's feelings. You can hate him all you want. But 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when the upcoming generation looks at the numbers, they'll by all means respect the work he's done. So me, Charlie, I'm totally vindicated. I don't care again. Right now, if Jordan can blank out at the end of the year, I'm satisfied. 8 matches, 8 goals. You can't do anything about it. I've won.
I want to add something to this Jordan thing. I'm not the biggest fan of Jordan. I'm not even gonna lie, right? But as Danny said, you have to respect the work that he's done. But I want to touch on this point he made at the beginning, talking about creativity from our white players. And then I also want to bring up Abdul Fattah, because I watched that Central African Republic game, and whether on the left or on the right, the level of maturity that boy has shown on the ball, off the ball, I was shocked. And a lot of Chelsea fans kept... I tweeted about it, like, Fattah's maturity makes me so happy.
I just knew where you were taking this thing.
I'm not taking it there. But I was saying that I was impressed. And I remember, I think, I wasn't here when he came on, but Kawawa has spoken about it, but Kojo Nkitia was also of the opinion that he just needed a different environment where he would play and be coached on how to play, because the talent was there. It was just consistency in playing and being coached properly. And you see that consistency in playing at Leicester, a higher level than the Portuguese league, and just being told, this is what is expected of you, this is how we expect you to do what you have to do, and all of that. And now, at the end of the day, he's producing for the Black Stars. Like there was a time where he had to slow the game down. Previously, he would just shoot from anywhere and everywhere. He didn't shoot once. That's the first thing I knew that this guy has matured. He didn't shoot once. His crossing was good. He was always trying to get to the byline and cut back. Whenever he couldn't, he would give a pass. Even the weight of his passes. I don't even think he gave the ball away once in terms of like passing, and then, unless it was maybe intercepted. And I'm happy to be corrected. But he didn't give the ball away once, like it was a poor pass. No. And I have to big him up for that. And I hope that Ernest Nyama will also get that level of coaching at Lyon. I don't know who their coach is, but I hope somebody will teach him also, because it's in the interest of Ghana that our white players become comfortable on the ball. Because you could see the difference between Fattah and Ejumaoho. You understand? And it's very, very interesting to me. I think he didn't play enough as well. Kamaldeen, I'm speaking about now. He didn't play enough because the coach is Southampton. They got a new coach who was very, very positionally astute. Like, he likes positional football and whatnot. And he didn't use him very much. He put him on the bench.
I think he had a few injuries throughout the season.
But even when he was fit, he was on the bench. Full 90 on the bench. And he needs to up his game, because there were so many mistakes that he did. Whereas I'm talking about Abdul Fattah not making rash passes, not making mistakes with his movement, his understanding of space, where to go to, when to drop deep, when to slow the game down, where to take on your... Bro, the one-on-one, he raised both sides, left back, right back. He raised the guy when he was on the left. He raised the guy when he was on the right. Kamaldeen, with all his pace and trickery, I could always tell, whenever he got the ball and he wanted to move forward, I could say, and it's unfortunate, but he's still young, so I'll not write him off as, he should be. No, he's so very important to us as a country. And I hope that he will get that coaching and level of, maturity that Abdul Fattah has got. Now, I'm looking forward to seeing Fattah in the Premier League, to see how, even what level of growth he will bring up. I hear say my new manager be Potter. It's a headache for me. It's a headache. But yeah, big up to Jordan. He did very well. I was happy with the hat trick. Hey, Charlie, somebody score hat trick. What the game did you talk?
Charlie, there's nothing you can say.
So, big up to Jordan and big up to the Black Stars once again. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, on Jordan, like the last time we spoke about him, I said, I don't think Black Stars fans have been fair to him. Even though, like you said, I'm also not his biggest fan, but I'm not one of the fans who thinks that he should be dropped from the Black Stars team. I think Black Stars fans don't approach the Jordan topic logically. They just lump him together with Didi. So it's like, they didn't know the first Jordan, so Jordan 2 just drop all their use. That mindset has never made sense to me, because these are two players who are in different stages of their career. So you can't say because one knew the first, then the other one to just add them, then dump all of them. It doesn't make sense. On top of the fact that he's a Premier League player, no matter what you say, once he's playing the Premier League, he's playing at a certain level that other players are not playing at. And he's better placed for you to judge his level than somebody who they play Moldova League and those other leagues that are players tend to go.
Hey, you move like, to people, oh. What do they mean by Moldova? What Moldova League?
Might be true.
Hey, like, you see, the thing is, once you play, if you play Moldova League and all those other Serbia and all those things where they force, yeah, it's good. But you can't really for sure tell that this person is playing at the level that you need him to be. But if you're playing, even for me, even the worst player in a Premier League team, he's at a level where, for me, he should always be considered for the Black Stars. Because for you to get to the Premier League, you are better than somebody who is the best player in Kuwait or something. For me, it's just factual. So I don't think Black Stars fans have ever been logical about the Jordan situation. And like Danny was saying, he's always given his best. Whether you like it or not, maybe you don't like the role he's been given, you don't like what he's been asked to do, but he always gives his best. You never see him being lazy on the pitch. He runs, he does all the hard work. So players like that, it's very painful for me to see people slandering them. If the person just they walk on the pitch all the time, his defensive output is poor, his attacking output is also poor, that one I go understand. But once he's doing what he's been asked to do, I think Jordan is just a matter of circumstances, like certain things that people just can't get out of their head. Maybe the 2014 World Cup pass where, you know, they give us a margin, that thing gave people their head inside since then. It's a combination of plenty of things. And in addition to how people just mean the day, so they just lump all of them together. But yeah, I don't think Black Stars fans have been fair to him. And I'm glad that he's done this, because for me, I'm always happy when our players do well. And even if I don't like you, if I support your team, I'm happy when you prove me wrong. Because, like, what's the downside if you prove me wrong? Yeah, I'm glad that you raise your answer. What's you going to
do? Akai, something we not talk about. I want to also shout out Thomas Tepati. Because this has been his best performances for the Black Stars that me have ever watched.
Hey, ever watched?
Yes.
Relax.
Every time I watch him, I leave there underwhelmed. I leave there slightly angry, because before Kudus burst onto the scene, by all margins, he was our best player by far. Right? And I always felt this guy, it's like if he come Ghana, he won't do like, I don't want to play Miss Roman 9, you know, I don't want to hit again. But these two games, I don't know, maybe I didn't give him the armband, ginger, because he's never lost a game as captain of Black Stars. He to be record with that. You know, he's never lost a game when he's wearing the armband as captain. So, yeah. But these two matches, like, I saw him play in a variety of roles. And in all of those roles, he did well. Maybe except the left wing where they make you go play the Mali.
But that was 10 minutes.
He'll be 10 minutes. So you know, Damon. But he had to drop deep at certain points. He had to trigger the press at certain points. Sometimes he had to be the one to come, you know, be like a DM. Because he in partner no played 84 question marks day in body. And he too, just like Salisu, if he make mistake where we find somebody where every time he comes on, he does better, then go drop him. Salis, if he's not serious, they will drop him. Because he was having a stinker in that Mali game till that cross. Wallahi. He was having a terrible game. Giving the pass, giving the ball away, passing to people know the guy. He passed to throwing at them. People know the guy, but me, I see. Wait, game ahead this side. Who was playing the wings at that time? Either the right wing back at the time or the right winger. He was passing. He passed it behind the player and he went to throw. but Pate stood up. I remember there was in the Mali game, he even had to play 10 at a point.
Yeah.
He had to go forward. You know, and that was when he was slipped through. In fact, he's the reason why he didn't score that, because he slowed down.
Yeah.
Just
You don't see you. You don't see the pass.
I should say this. You don't see that pass go come.
You don't see.
Shock.
He get a ball. He see it all. Then he get a ball. He say, "Hey, I did. For 2 weeks back." He just, if he had a bit more time, he would have gotten the dink a bit better. But that's not that. That's besides the point. Point is, he was very, 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 very good in these two matches, and this is the standard I expect him to keep. At the break, like on his worst day, this is how I expect him to play. On the day that they've tied his right leg and he can only play with his left, this is the level I expect him to play. As one of the most experienced and as a captain of the Black Stars, this is what I expect from him. And even better going forward. Because as for the passing, there's nobody in the team that passes better than Thomas. As for when it comes short passing, long passing, quick passing, pass around the player, say he will see them... Charlie, that one there, you know. So I just expect that he will keep playing this well going forward throughout it. And then if you play this well, nobody will talk to you. They like Arsenal pass. Right now, if you go Saudi, we then, you know, we'll get beef. Then, but you don't want to play well. But Salis, the Salis people, Salisu and Salis, where they watch out, where they watch out. No, because they were there, for me, they were the worst. Hey, then we give you on there. Gideon the hideous
Kuzon. Gideon give one nice cross. Then.
One nice cross.
Take that shot.
As was saying, you'll be okay.
Me for Partey, I just want to give him like big ups for, not for what he did on the pitch, but more about the speech he gave when Baumia came to visit the team. And for me, that's what a leader should do. He took it straight to the man. He told him that, Charlie, they need better pitches. They need better facilities. So, Charlie, you know, the optics every day, come there, come take pictures and go. Give them something tangible. Because then they play on the best pitches in the world. Then they come to Black Stars. The pitch is like a bouncy castle. You know, even if you give 10-meter pass without a ball bouncing. Like,
that 500,000 Ghana cedis, Baumia take give the team. If we are giving it to the NSA to fix the pitch, like they've won this game like 7-3.
See,
he's not serious.
You know, see, the
even that thing alone, Seth, it make my heart come, because even the idea of that, even those donations and all of these things, you know, they sit well with me. Again. And on top of that, like, even assuming, yes, I would say, okay, if you want to give a donation, for me, there are people who deserve, like, there are other sports disciplines that deserve donations far Athletics. More. This is Olympics, they come. The Olympics, they come. The athletes, how many of them receive donations of that magnitude? Like, this
is a different topic altogether. I want to point out that Mali, this is a bit small, but Mali has electronic boards around their pitch. The advert boards will be electronic. Well, now still be paper. Wait and take blocks to come. So say if you rain, you know, will fall down. That'd be what me I get to.
Anyway, before we move away from the Black Stars, last person I want to talk about is Mohamed Kudus. So after the Central African Republic game, we went online and he did something that was very out of character. At least for me, it was very out of character because I've never seen Kudus doing this. It looked like he was searching for his name on Twitter and replying everybody who was criticizing him. I'll not say insulting, because for me, I didn't really see many insults. I saw criticism. I saw a lot of valid criticism. Even though I think he had two good games, and I think Kudus, the thing about him is that people tend to judge him by their expectations of him rather than what he's actually doing. So if Kudus plays 6/10 game, people go insult him, then go talk, say, Kudus, you know, force, you do this, you do that. If Ali Dusseidou plays 6/10 game, oh, he try, at least he did his best. That's how it is. You judge Kudus by what you expect of him. So I didn't think he had that bad of a game. But at the same time, I think a lot of what I saw him replying to was valid. So let me ask Danny again. What do you think of the criticism that you saw of Kudus? And do you think he was right in replying to them?
I didn't think the criticism was valid because I thought, look, Jordan was probably man of the match because of the goals. But in terms of general play, especially in that second half, I think Kudus was our best player in that second half. That's at least from where I sit, what I watched. Kudus was on hand for 3 of the goals, but most people will not notice. His running off the... Charlie, like, I've not seen a hungrier Kudus in the Black Stars as what I saw against Central African Republic. He was possessed. And maybe that's the advantage of watching the game at the pitch. So maybe some of the things the camera would not see. But the balls he was chasing, the runs he was making, the way he was edging his teammates on to press, like very early in the first half, like, yeah, we are 2-1 down. We are Ghana. We know we'll score. But he was pushing for that agency, like, give me the ball. That responsibility is something that for a young player, when you see an attitude like this, you really need to commend him. And his general play, and you see, I don't understand some things, okay? Somebody has a strength, and it is down to the coaches to use that strength. If you put Kudus at left back, he will dribble. If you put Kudus in the pool, he will dribble. If you put him at number 10, like, he's a dribbler, that's him. So good coaching will put him higher up the pitch. So now when he dribbles, and even if he loses the ball, there's still enough time to win it back. They are blaming Kudus for the first goal Central African Republic scored. And I'll not miss my way. I think it's the dumbest piece of analysis I've seen. An attacking player loses the ball in the final third, and one pass over the top, and you concede. I blame the attacking player for losing the ball. The fact that the system was so open at that point, that's what you should blame. Like, what should Kudus do in the final third? Like, what should he do? He should look and pass one touch. Since when Kudus start passing one touch? And you see, it's so unfair because when you pause the frame and you look at the touch he took, you look at there was Kamal Dean, who was far to his right, and both Jordan and Isahaku were blocked by defenders. So the most obvious, if Kudus was going to pass, he should have passed to Kamal Dean. But if Kudus had successfully gotten in front of that defender who initially got the ball, and the only reason why Kudus didn't get in front of him was because of the poor bounce of the ball, and that was the pitch. If Kudus had gotten in front of that defender, he was literally one-on-one with the incoming defender, and it was like 4 yards between them. In that situation, you fancy Kudus to go past that guy easy. And that's a goal-scoring opportunity. He tries to do it. The ball is taken off him. There's a long ball in the score. You're telling me that it's the attacking player's fault for losing the ball in the final third. Like, what the hell do you want him to do over there? Like, I don't get it. So, the defenders couldn't deal with that situation. The system couldn't ensure that when Kudus lost the ball, somebody was close enough to press and not allow Kondogbia to have the time and space to pick the pass. And you are blaming the attacking player. Like, are you serious? So, imagine Isahaku, imagine that Jordan penalty, and Isahaku, the referee didn't call it as a penalty, and somebody lobbed the ball inside, and they scored that. Would you blame Isahaku for falling down in that? Like, are you serious? Like, I don't get it. And you see, I think you made a fantastic point when you mentioned the fact that because of people's expectations, and because of what he's done in the past, the way he's carried the game individually, doing everything by himself, people expect that thing to happen over and over and over again. I think if you're talking about Kudus being a team player in this Black side, it was this Central African Republic game. Like, he brought his teammates into the game so much. Like, Charlie, the guy was super. Me, I don't understand. But for him to pick his phone and go and reply to people for the things that they were saying, me, that thing was, it didn't make sense to me at all. Look, somebody needs to tell him and he needs to understand. Charlie, this began now. And I tweeted it. You can't tell me that thing was abuse. That thing is not abuse. That's people telling their mind. Nobody has insulted him. People were talking about him being selfish. If somebody thinks he's being selfish, that's okay. If somebody thinks he's holding the ball for too long and he's not passing, that is okay. They are within their rights to complain. They are football fans. They are Ghanaians, and you are no more Ghanaian than them. So they have every right to criticize you. But for you to pick your phone and start replying them, for me, it really doesn't make sense. Because, boy, if Black Stars players were going to reply, like, Jordan Ayew's score on Snap and Twitter and Baba Aman and Co. Like, those guys have taken a lot of shit, too, bro. Like, Jordan Ayew, even before the game has started, boys, they insult him. Like, they see him. Jordan starts trending before the match. Like, the referee even blows. Even before warm-up set.
If he did line up,
bro, Jordan, Baba Aman, Andre, that is abuse. And those players, like, they put it behind them. He needs to understand that, look, yeah, you are loved. But there are people who, even if they love you, hate you, bugger, people will talk. It's Black Stars. It's America. Killers want to go there. So, like, emotions are high. He just needs to understand. Some of these things, you just don't need to pay attention to it. It's not necessary. And for me, I was quite disappointed he did that because this is not the first time he's doing something like that. This is not the first time. I don't know if you guys remember, but 2022-23, at the start of that season, when he was being benched at Ajax, there was this episode, he tweeted some cryptic tweet and some people were trying to read meaning into it. Then he goes around replying them. And in fact, that they had to send him a DM and tell him to stop. And then he said he wanted to. And I told him, it's not necessary. Like, let them talk. Allow them. Feel free. Let them talk. They are fans. They'll talk. But when you go and put your mouth inside, right now, instead of even the, those of us who believe you had a good game, we can't defend you without bringing this matter into it. Because, like, I say, Bidia, you spot everything because of what you're going to do. So, Charlie, so it comes with the territory. Even myself, if I tweet my team, people, they insult me. Me, I don't mind if you insult, I don't need peace. But you're a footballer. Like, don't come down to that and start. Don't do that. It's not necessary. Like, you need to understand some of these things.
See, if he know what I said, the Mali game, he was trash. Whether he likes it or not, he was trash. And he can be angry. He can, if he's angry, it's for his own good. Next time, do better. The South Africa, the car game like this, I agree with Danny. I thought he was quite good. I don't see anything wrong with his performance. I think he created a lot for his teammate. The several chances, the cross that we say this is Guido Mensah give one good cross where Jordan takes score. The reason why Jordan had that much space was because Kudus drew the defender out of place with his movement. He gives the pass to Gideon, darts into the box. The defender is now caught. Jordan or Kudus? Kudus is the one coming. Let me mark Kudus. Goes for it to mark Kudus. Jordan is free. Header, go. So, if you've performed like that and you know in your heart of heart that you've done well, what's the need? So what? You play the game, finish. No, you can't tweet. You can't rep for search bar. Mohamed Kudus. Then you did right. You are this thing you did do. A good or no good? People really rate him highly, especially because of the fact that all the senior players left him to deal with the media after the disappointing game, disappointing exit in the AFCON. So people hold you to a higher standard, right? And there is a general consensus in the country that you are by far our best player. So as both of you have said, there is a higher standard that people will hold you to if you are our best player. If this thing that they tell you, say you the hold ball chair too much, release pass early, you the like to do everything by yourself. That if you think that's criticism, then make it go base as a margin after he missed penalty. Somebody say make them bend in mommy in store. See, the assistant called John Pencil after today. If John Pencil make pim, they say mommy get some shop for committee 12. Oh, yeah, mommy store, they make a concern. Every time John Pencil say something, that'd be what they take attack him. Do you understand? Nobody, like, for instance, people are saying, why Sheldon, they talk, say, Sa Patino, wasa. In Ghana, if they say wasa, it's not being so too. It'd be description. It'd be adjective. Wasa, it'd be adjective. We just describe you, then what you do for them. And also, football is a very emotion-based, minute-by-minute. See, go fit this somebody then Bruno. How many times my fans they fit this? Bruno, you know cool. Bruno, see what they do. This. There you go. Come if it's going on, you go see Bruno with 80 A's O's for the back. Bruno. So if Bruno Fernandes will come then come reply everybody. Well, like how does that go? See Saka. Saka 2, right now, they say in the call about Starboy Limpopo. If he has one, they say, if he get back, they say he's come from If everybody, they won't react to what everybody they talk on social media, it will take you forever. Like, concentrate on your craft. Right now, you play the two matches finish. Your season finish. You they go your holiday. We say you shall. We go free stop you. If you go Mabea, we go count the contract and say, what's up? No. You see, so he shouldn't. I get it. If it was actual proper abuse, like you're a fool, your head is big, die, I hope your leg breaks, those things, that one, you have every right to respond. Even that one, crap, maybe you can go through the GFA or something like that so that they can issue a wider statement for you. But if somebody say you the hold ball chair too much, it will lift your head and pass. 33.4 million coaches. Everybody then what he they watch for the game. Somebody they watch defense. Somebody they watch midfield. Somebody they watch attack. He make lucky say, "Gala, we don't they like tacticals." Like by now we get like 80 million tacticals. When I tell that we every day we check space, you know, space and things. They say Kudus if he come box 14, he no good for them. But box 15, he good small. Okay. Make it just relax, so make it not take calm. Like he should just calm down. It's I get it that it can be infuriating, especially when you believe you've given your utmost best and the team has won, and everybody should probably be hailing. But you wouldn't always, like, somebody score a hat-trick. You are not going to be the star of that conversation. You understand? Mm. But everybody knows that you contributed to that hat-trick. You played very well. And we are happy with the performance. Right now, we are with there. We make happy. We talk about performance. Right now, if I started, we talk about kudos, why he didn't reply people. Meanwhile, we all agree, say, he had a very good game. See. So make you just calm down. Make you not make these kind of things affect him. My advice, even I think like other footballers, he should just give his Twitter to somebody else to handle, like a PR person or something like that. Then make it just left, because if you handle your Twitter yourself as a person, you are more, you will see it affects you and you are more inclined to reply. Me, if you can't diss me for my Twitter, say my head big, see my glasses be every day they talk about Chelsea, and they could see them. Next week, I will come here, can't talk about Chelsea again. So, so make you just calm down.
Before we move on to the next topic, let me just do a small commercial break. So, want to give your mom and dad their dream retirement? Or do your younger relatives need something small to keep them going in this economy? Do you need a fast, safe, and reliable way to send money to your relatives in Ghana? Your answer is just two taps away. Introducing TapTap Send, your go-to safe solution for instant money transfers to Ghana. Download TapTap Send today from your app store and send money as easily as you can see TapTap. So,
I don't know if earlier this week, send money is like TapTap, but it's a very, very, very good app. If I take the money, give mommy quick, where the rates always be good. The rates always make sense. So, if you day the diaspora, yeah. But you not be everywhere though. If you did like,
it just make you know comes one.
If they stay like Romania or Croatia or something, you know, get up. Now I'm for find something else. But if you did the big ones, I beg you, stop. It'd be very good service. Wow.
Thank you. So earlier this week, Man United announced that they will be keeping Ten Hag after a long 2-3 weeks of speculation. Here today, the story is that before the FA Cup final, a number of very trusted sources came out and said that it's already been decided that after the FA Cup final, he'll be fired.
Wait,
so this came as a surprise to a number. Pardon?
Who be the trusted sources?
Okay, me, I know so you know like him. Jacob Steinberg. I know so you know like him.
I want to state here, that guy, I've said it.
I don't know you.
You're not seeing tweets from 2010. You ever see journalists?
I'm going to bleep out all of this because
all fans from all clubs, they moved one machine for machine before. You'll be cool.
All of this don't count up because we have nowhere any lawsuits for it. So, a number of trusted sources were very convinced that like he was probably going to get fired. Apart from Steinberg, there were a number of people who were leaning towards him going. People were talking about Southgate, all sorts of things. In the end, even someone like David Ornstein, he just came and he said, actually, he's tired of trying to speculate because it looks like the people, they don't even know what they do. And then the news dropped that he's being retained. Not just being retained, but they are coming to open negotiations on a new contract. This one will be dedicated to come ask, because I'm not saying he's sworn enemy with us.
Will make me a statue so Danike will get more time expressive body. make a keep my outside perspective. First of all, give your outside perspective. I'm a very, very happy man. In fact, last night I was giving thanks to Jehovah, because what he has done for me and the rest of the fan bases, we can't believe it. We are lost for it. God, thank you. We're alive. Because wow, how can you sack somebody that won 2 trophies in 2 years? Eh? He said it too. He said, if Man United don't want me and they sack me, I'll go somewhere and I'll win trophies. But the truth is, everyone, then try find manager they don't get. Then try find manager them no get. And in the end, or maybe the one then gets to. Then compared to Ten Hag, they say difference no yeah, Papa Biasa. So maybe we just keep that guy. Personally, I thought they would keep him in the end because St. Jim kept saying no manager at Manchester United in the past 10 years has been set up to succeed and the footballing structure behind them has been poor. And for the read these kind of things, if they talk the answers, he say he no one's a come. And it even made it harder for them after he won that FA Cup final against Manchester City, even though the City players were drunk. But he still won. At the end of the day, he won. So, you know, if he can move to him anyway. But I'm of the opinion that maybe now that he has a footballing structure, that one safe, that Nashville safe, he no come yet. So I don't know how you go sign players, but hopefully you go pay the money. But you open, you don't get money because I hear say your transfer budget be 50 million. Can't see me. Take that, you can't buy Gallagher. We go give you 10 million ads. Just can't buy Gallagher and give it there. Yeah, but at the end of the day, I think in the end, they just made a choice that actually Toto Alote say, you know, come. They look at Deserbi and they're like, that's not it. They look at Poch and they say, what's really the difference between Poch and Ten Hag? And in the end, they just decided that they'll just go with Ten Hag. So I don't know. Personally, as a Chelsea fan, it's a very good news. I'm very happy. And I hope that the new contract is like to bully on 8 years. Make it just did there, then make we see how it will go. Now that Nikkei, if you take over.
Charlie, truth be told, the coach is finished. To be honest. Honestly speaking, if you look around, the elite coaches, they're not plenty. They're finished. And the ones who are available to Charlie, their recent records, not necessarily the best. So, me, I understand Ineos. But why did it take so long? Me, that's my point. Charlie, see when they came. Yes, it took a while for the thing to be finalized, but we all knew that it was just a matter of time. Couldn't you have figured this thing out like long ago? Actually, people have started planning for next season. You are still thinking about whether you sack him, whether you not sack him right now. Like, see where we did now. Now, and you see, once they were not certain on the issue, I doubt if Ten Hag was properly planning for next season because anything could have happened. So he too, he'll take a back seat. Like, he's not really sure. Right now, the players where Dengofi make available, other killers have gone ahead to go and talk to them and things. Like, United are now behind. And now you have to try and enforce and quickly catch up before the next season starts. So me, honestly, this thing Ineos are doing, it is typical Glazer things. Like, this last-minute nonsense. It's typical Glazer things. So me, I don't see any proper difference. That's why, from February, I went to get my Crystal Palace forms. I've always been a Crystal Palace fan. Yeah, I've been a Palace fan since 2019.
I've been Palace South East for...
Oh, yeah. Eagle for life. But February are filling the forms. So right now, they send me messages then says, wait, this season, dear, full Crystal Palace fan. Like, for Man U, dear, like, I don't understand how a serious team can be doing their business like some mid-table. Like, Man U are not serious. And for me, like, especially for United fans who defend this nonsense. Like, why are you defending it? Like, when you look around and you see Man City being successful, you look at Arsenal pushing for a title. Like, doesn't it affect you? I don't know. For a Man United fan to be happy with finishing eighth and winning FA Cup, and you go around bragging with it. Like, Charlie, this is something that... you know, try then times Liverpool. The time Liverpool win there.
I mean, this is your talk. They're not going to invite you again. They're not going to invite you again. Because, see, the people for this place...
Relax. He gave two stipulations. He said, happy with finishing eighth and winning FA Cup. Me, I was happy with finishing eighth. The FA Cup itself, again, reason why I was happy, but you make it finish.
No, you see, if I don't know if you guys can, that season Liverpool won there. I think it was Carabao Cup. I think 20, I've forgotten the year. But they were 7th, 8th, where they go win some Carabao Cup.
It's the season that Kenny Dalglish came and Kenny won Dalglish.
Yes, I think
the
2010, League Cup. I think it was 2010.
2010, 2011, thereabouts.
Like, that's literally what United fans are doing. Like, you finished the abysmal poor position and then you're happy that you've won a cup final. Are you serious? Like, Man United, me, my standards, I will never relent on my standards. Like, I'm a Man United fan. And the Man United I grew up knowing, when we finished third safe, we were not happy. That's what I remember. The season that the Invincibles won and Ranieri passed us, Man United were third. United were not happy about being third. Following season, I think United were second behind Mourinho. We were not happy that we were second. We went to win Carabao Cup in 05-06. United were still not happy because we are not done well in the league. Then we won the league and the standards were restored. Even when we won the league, we went out semi-final of Champions League and we felt we could have done better. Then we went and win. That's the standard, though. So if you finish 8-10, I don't know if it's like this social media generation where people are afraid that if you don't celebrate, opposition fans will throw you. Like, I'll be happy if deep in their hearts they are not happy. Okay, that's fine. But if, like, you are genuinely happy with finishing 8th, yet winning a trophy and you call that progress, then there's something seriously wrong with your Man United fandom. Like, Ferguson to come and revoke your because it doesn't, Charlie, you can't be, look at Real Madrid. Look at Real Madrid. Like, if Real Madrid had lost the Champions League final, it would have been a poor season for them, despite them winning the league. That's the standard, though. Like, that's the standard. Barca have finished 2nd in the league. They are in Champions League. Barca fans are not happy. Man United fans have the guts to laugh at Barca fans. But Barca finished 2nd, though. But they are not happy. Like, there's a standard, though. Like, big team is big team. Like, Liverpool finished 10th. They are not happy. Like, bro, how can you finish 8th and you win FA Cup? And you are jubilating like you are... The United fans should even have
the players that have been signed. Fans are not happy. Wait, we are since we are not happy.
Boss, come on for
right now, you see, it has reached. It's not even about Ten Hag. It's reached a stage for me personally where I can't recognize the club anymore, and I can't recognize the fan base anymore. Like, it's like anything goes. Anything, once your rivals is doing worse than you, then it's okay. And for me, I can't take that in. So I'm for Crystal Palace now with Glasner. That's my personal. And you see, with Glasner, we are going to Europe. If you look at the last 8 games of the season, the last 8 to 10 games of the season, the kind of form that we should look, there's no reason why Palace cannot push for European places. And note, Olise is going to Olympics. Mateta is going to Olympics. Eze, by the time Euros has come, Wipra is hurt. So Jordan is starting all the games. The first 5 games of the season, Jordan is starting. By the time those people return from the Olympics and injury, Jordan gets
his secure place.
So me next season, they are full Palace support. Like, man, they forget them, crap. Full Palace.
So you say if right now, when Jordan can score hat-trick plus 1-4 goals in 2 matches, they will make you play up top. Mateta in position there. They're not going to make you play defensive right wing center back. That position.
If I'm Mateta, go ahead. Go Olympics. Because by the time he come back, Jordan secured that. See, Crystal Palace, Eagles, next season. Forget man, they are not...
He'll fly.
So let me say this. As for Ten Hag, everybody know my thoughts on him. Like, I've been against him since, like, early on this season. Media, there are certain mistakes that a coach makes that I think they're unforgivable. Like, for example, Ahmad, when he decided to play Omari Forsen ahead of Ahmad, he was giving him more minutes. In fact, from the moment he signed Anthony, like, there's been so many decisions for me. If I said I was going to make a list of red flags for him, I'm not going to finish now. Like, there are so many of them. Even though I know that there are no coaches on the market right now, at the same time, let me make this political small. I see it's like right now what the current government is doing. The opposition may be correct too, but the way they fuck up, I don't think they deserve another term. Like, they fuck up to the extent that they shouldn't be, no matter what, no matter who the other options are, you shouldn't reward this with another term. That's just how I see it. And that's how I saw it with Ten Hag. Charlie, to finish 8th with the lowest ever points tally, a negative goal difference. If I say, I will vex again if I start to think about everything.
Make I just carry you something there. You know, say you the owe UEFA goals because Champions League you finish with negative. Where you the owe FA to goals because Premier League you finish with it. So next season, every goal you score, now you the go payback from last year. Before, hey! When you lose 22 games or something crazy like that.
I beg. So for me, the thing is, I know other people go talk, say, he had to deal with a lot of injuries. He's had to deal with a lot of off-field issues, like more off-field issues than every other United manager. I mean, honestly, I go talk, say, it's valid. If you say he's had to deal with more off-field issues, he had to deal with the Ronaldo issue. He had to deal with Sancho, Greenwood, Anthony Seth, then go arrest him.
Wait.
He become the Ronaldo.
Wait. The Ronaldo issue. See, you and I didn't know that Ronaldo had left the stadium. All we knew was Ronaldo had left and gone to the dressing room. What escalated it was when they asked him post-match, is it true that Ronaldo left the stadium? Honestly, Jimmy, yes, it's true. We'll punish him. We'll punish him. They can't do that. You see, some of these things, like, if I ask you to tell me what exactly Aubameyang did, we don't know. It's all speculation till now. Arteta never opened his mouth to say it. Aubameyang never confirmed it. It was all speculation. If I tell you to tell me what happened between Pep and Cancelo, we don't know. Pep never told us. You see, there's a way to handle these things. The Sancho team, they asked you a simple question. Why didn't Sancho appear on the team sheet? He's hurt. We didn't choose him. And why would you go and insinuate that the player is lazy? Then when the player comes to reply, then you say that the player doesn't respect, he's going to apologize. All this off you is, he caused them all. He caused them. He caused them. So it's not like something
happened. Thank you very much, Danny King. Because I've been telling them that he caused them. They will not listen to me. Thank you, Danny King.
So, aside the off-field issues, yes, he's also dealt with a lot of injuries. But me, I see like this.
I'm not having it. Because every day you go talk to me, I like the plug Chelsea everywhere.
Oh,
but we
God.
Had more injuries last season than any other club. And
You get injuries where your trophy day. You get injuries where your trophy day.
I'm lucky, me pal. Yeah.
And you see, this is why I like celebrating the trophy, just to shut people like
Klopp. This is why I have been saying that Todd Boehly has to call Pochettino and sack him again because this idiot came to Stamford Bridge over the weekend. Do you know that the soccer aid match, he lost the game with 3 injuries? Roberto Carlos did one training under Poch. He got injured. The training, he got injured during training. He couldn't play. In the match, 3 of his players got injured. Frank Lampard beat him 5-2 in the fight. Do you know what it means for Frank Lampard to beat you? Me, I'm telling you, I'm a yard. Same Frank Lampard. So as for that guy, wherever he is, we have to call him and sack him again. But talking about the injuries, I don't think that's an excuse because nobody told him to not change his style of play. Nobody told him not to adapt his tactics.
I was getting there. Yes, like he had a lot of injuries and everything. But me, I like to group managers into the great managers, the good / okay managers, and the bomb managers. For me, great managers be managers where maybe if you give them 10, they will give you 15. They perform above what you give them. The okay / good managers are the ones who, if you give them this, they give you that. The level you give them is what they give you back. So if you give the person 10, he will give you back 10. He no go overachieve, he no go underachieve. What you give him be what he will give you. So for me, if you are not a great manager, I don't see the point in putting trust in you. Because for me, even if, yes, you had a lot of injuries, but the whole point of being a great manager is that you should be able to perform above what you've been given. You should be able to perform above the injury. Ancelotti, how many injuries did he have to deal with this season? The whole season, your first choice keeper was in there.
Kepa was his keeper. Do you know Kepa? Arrizabalaga. Kepa was his keeper. He didn't have a striker. Almost like
You lost Benzema, you couldn't replace him properly. You had to use
Joselu. Do you know Joselu? Joselu.
Like, then your center backs, the injuries are here. That's why I say, the injuries, you had injuries, but if we see you as an okay manager, then that can be an excuse. But if you want to be seen as a great manager, it can be used to the extent that you have the lowest ever points total that we've recorded. Like that one there, you can't use that excuse. Like, is for a Man United manager, it's too much. Like, if it be some Southgate we hire or something, then we will feel use them. But if we are expecting you to one day win the Premier League for us or something, you should be a manager who is able to perform above all your problems. A few seasons ago, the season after Liverpool won the title and they had that injury crisis and Van Dijk was out almost the whole season and everything. In the end, they still managed to recover and finish fifth. And
they finished 10.
They finished
3 points behind top four.
They didn't finish fifth. They finished.
I think they've had two bad seasons like that. Wait, I think the one you're talking about is last season.
They finished third. Chelsea was ahead of them almost the whole time. And Mane just can't do some madness.
The final few weeks.
I remember they finished.
And that's what sets the great managers apart from the regular ones. If you be great manager, no matter what, in the end, you will manage to do something. Like, to finish with negative goal difference and all of those things, Charlie, those things are unforgivable. Yes, me, I go celebrate for the FA Cup and things for the fact that me, people like Van Gerwen, I just want to make people shut up. But in the end, I never go talk, say, yes, because of the FA Cup, we forgive him another chance. Because, Charlie, yes, for me, winning trophies is the most important thing. But always asterisk demon. The fact say they win trophies, so they mean, say, okay, if you go finish in the relegation zone, because you win trophy, they cancel out. Like, there has to be a certain level in the, like, maybe if you finish, like, the Van Gaal season, he finished 1 point off top four, but he won the FA Cup.
Goal difference,
actually.
Yeah.
And he won the FA Cup, and he still got fired. That one, I will put aside the poor performances and things and say, okay, maybe we go see inside for you. That one, even though I'll say, like, I don't want to keep you. Like, I go fit talk, say, okay, maybe. I go try and understand, say, yeah, because you won the FA Cup and you were just goal difference away from finishing top four. We go see inside for you. But to finish so far off top four, negative goal difference, get knocked out of the Champions League in the group stage, like, it's so much. It's too much to overlook. So, yes, even though managers know they, like, I wouldn't mind if United took a gamble like the way Chelsea did and went for a Maresca, an unknown entity. Because in the end, yeah, he's not I don't know. We can't tell whether he's ready for that level or not. But I feel like if I were a Chelsea fan, I would be more excited looking forward to the new season than as a United fan looking forward to the new season with Ten Hag. Because Maresca be an unknown entity. It could work very well. Like, in the sense that he's coming from a championship team.
That's so, the point. He shouldn't be at Chelsea. Like,
yes, down there, he shouldn't be at Chelsea. Me, I said it last week on our last episode that it's more of a case where people just try to search the next Pep. So then they put aside the facts, say the guy no get experience, he's not been tested, and then just won't take a wild gamble. Xabi Alonso to come add your own to inside. So right now everybody thinks, okay, maybe if I gamble, maybe no, go see, work well.
There's a difference. Xabi Alonso is managing Leverkusen. The amount of pressure at Leverkusen is not, you can't equate it to Chelsea. If Xabi Alonso finished third with Leverkusen this season, he still would have been very successful. What he was doing, winning week in, week out, and beating, Leverkusen fans were not pressuring him to go and beat him. He was operating on his own standards. So if they had lost, fine. If they win, fine. But with Chelsea, if you lose two matches and win the next three, it's still poor. Like, Maresca, his whole life, you can only point to one season where he's had been a coach for himself. Last season with Leicester City. You don't like Poch, but it's Maresca in the one. By October. October, no foul. October.
You go carry the thing kind here. So as you come to my house, I don't know if it make you just talk about my coach.
So in fact, make a give prediction before. October. Crystal Palace go day top four. Chelsea go day between 16th and 18th. Me and the
so and this is a wild prediction.
Oh, it'll be double prediction. Crystal Palace top four by October.
October, you know, far October. Like that. Me at every 4 months. It will fire.
Palmer, they go but ahead for you. So.
Palmer, what did they mean by in fact me, I was very unhappy actually yesterday, because Ten Hag's thing means that you will not go for Gareth Southgate, and that really bothered me. I really wanted you guys to go for that guy, because that's the worst coach I've seen in my entire life, including Frank Lampard.
We all know like him, but if you take Lampard come inside, right, you can't go foul. There's no way Lampard to go World Cup semi-final. There's no way Lampard to go Euro 2020.
You see, I'm not talking about that. Machine for machine, man for man, England in the past 5 years have probably had one of the best teams in the world. Machine for machine.
Me, I know what make it come situation where they defend Southgate, but in the end, the team he came to meet coach, and where he took
coach, when he coached Middlesbrough, where then go relegation straight. Van Lampard can't take Everton, he survived relegation. That's where me, I get off. Lampard in first season in top flight, managing Chelsea Football Club, finished fourth. using kiddies. He had a transfer ban and he still finished fourth. I hate Lampard, though. Me, I'm a better coach than him, and I don't even have a UEFA license, Jim, which is non-existent. But I'm a better coach than Lampard. And I'm telling you that Lampard and Southgate, this crazy made off in table off we they do for here, Lampard will come on top all day, every day, twice on Monday. What lie? You know, Bob. So, yeah, talking about Maresca, see, me, I don't know the guy who, I don't know what he go fit do, but 16th to 18th, and Fanana, it don't go happen. If you talk about some top 10, see, do you know, you see, you put a defend porch. Do you know we had, this has been our easiest start to a season in like 4 years?
Easiest in terms of the teams you face?
Yes.
Ah, but you're a player sound. Ah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you sure, bro? Madueke,
I don't want to hear that. Wait, I don't want to hear that thing. You put say he's better than Maresca. Do you know we had one win in five? One win in five.
See,
Maresca
will not even get one win in five.
See, we go see. I'll be with
you. Very bold predictions.
I mean, you put the top. You put the top. Wait, then you make a finish. You put them. Say, but Chelsea had to. We had to be the point that we had to have some points on the board, bro. Boga. By the time he won, he was left with that five matches where he win all. No, he was 1 point better off than Potter. One point better off than Potter. So make nobody can like gaslight Chelsea fans say his turn in form was just because he won 50, he got 50 points out of 15 in the last five matches of the season. That is what catapulted us up the table. If Manchester United performed slightly worse, we wouldn't have been ahead of them. If Newcastle didn't lose both their goalkeepers, we probably don't finish ahead of Newcastle. So make it open, not make it look like we were with the watch the team diligently, with the free watch, below the free chop. Then we did this is sometimes at the travel, at the bus inside. Then it, my phone will vibrate. Chelsea the play. I say, I'm saying, I will go check. Me, I'm saying, we watch this. Oh, then he did play one. He had two wingers on the bench. Then he was playing our left back at left wing. Immediately, James went when he got injured at in the first part of the season. Everybody said, hey, chill well, dear. Oh, who said James? Don't play him. Rest him. What did he do? Played him left wing, left back, central mid, left wing, left back. We did two matches. Chilwell said, ah, James, make we go. We all, we did it. You would say he did. Then they was. Then they, the medical team, that my group chat. They know they, the players. It'd be right. Cool. It not be lie. It'd be true. Then and they'll be well. And they, three quarters of the season, the class we fell for that side be Wesley Fofana. So he did it. They just they adopt new students. Wait and did it. See, the shaking we've seen with Pochettino this season, especially measured against the level of experience that he has. No, boga.
You see, so the experience one didn't work. Then it's a smart.
If you're going to take a gamble and the experience one not know the rest, you might as well gamble with the unknown quantity, as Smiley is saying.
Because of Fatal last season, I pay attention to Leicester. Wow. The moment there was small pressure on them at the end of the season, they lost.
They almost bottled it.
Boga, he's bringing that same. Yeah, it's just the first game of the season.
In your own ways,
win the first game of the season. Then the English press starts writing articles. Is Maresca the right man for the job? Is there pressure on
it'll be first game of the season. It'll be America. If he lose to like Club America or something, and I don't disagree with you that the level of pressure he's about to experience, if he thinks Leicester fans were terrible. He's not met Chelsea fans. Look, Sarri was winning. And because of the 65th minute, you had to be there, Danny. Kovacic for... Kovacic for Barkley. Pedro for William. 65th minute. Every 65th. Whether we are winning, whether we are losing, whether we are... Constant. And the in-stadium fans hated that game. That style of play. Recently, Sarri, they talk, he say, actually... He made a big mistake because in the end he left by himself. Chelsea wanted him to stay, but he said no, he go left where he left. And he said maybe that was the worst decision he's made as a coach in his coaching career. They were on track because by the time the season was about to end, we had started playing some very fantastic football. I'll never forget. I watched that game, that Baku final in Denmark. And I remember Arsenal fans before that game, they have Emery. We have the master of AFTV. Go watch if you get time. Man. If I make bored or Chelsea make I make sad, we this thing they move to we anyhow. Corey they move to me anyhow. I do go watch that if you take Cheche Mare because wow, what didn't they see? You know, and I get it. Like Mariska is an unknown quantity. I mean, I've accepted it. I don't know what he's bringing on board. I'm really diligently looking forward to July 1 when he starts his preseason. In fact, Chelsea media team, if you are watching this, please be releasing the behind the scenes 4 or 5 every day so that we can be watching and be looking at what he's doing tactically and analyzing. Right, understand? I want to see what he can bring on board. Maybe it will go well. But as I said, I agree with you. I'd rather take a chance with the unknown quantity. Because at the end of the day, you don't know what you're going to get than Poch. Poch, dear, I was a big supporter of Poch. Like, I was happy he came in. I said, you the guy last season. So he didn't work well plus the kiddies. And look at how well we played in preseason. Like, preseason was so good that we had one injury. One. Nkunku got injured and all of a sudden, this guy didn't know how to coach again. All of a sudden, we don't know who they play. That this week, you don't know who will be center backs, then left back. Next week, he they play center back for left back. Meanwhile, you don't be Pep. You know, and if it wasn't for the injury of Enzo Fernandez, he would never have inverted that 5 matches that he stumbled on that strategy, inverting from Kukurea to come inside to partner this is so that Gallagher can just be roaming about him, just doing his Galadog things. If this guy wasn't injured, he would never have done it. Which means we'll not have gotten the 15 points. Which means we'll not have finished 6th. Which means they would have still sacked him anyway. So, media, Adeye, that 16th to 18th, and far. Maybe top 10 there, we go there inside.
So now let's move on to the Euros. It starts this week and it promises to be an exciting one because the teams, in the build-up to the Euros, the friendly matches we've watched, we've seen good performances, we've seen bad performances from the favorites. So let's do this one quickly. We are going to run through a few predictions. Who do you think is going to win, Angelda?
France.
Danike?
I think France will win, but I want Portugal to win.
Okay, so finalists. But before you give your finalists, let me just give the context that Germany, England, I think on England's side of the draw, is the only really top teams are Germany, England, and Belgium. So before you give your predictions, everybody else is on the other side of the draw. So before you give your finalist predictions, France, Spain, Netherlands, them all on the other side of the draw.
No, but
all the other killers.
The best third place thing too can affect.
Okay, yes, that's true.
Yeah,
best third place is also. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So we are not too sure until the knockout rounds.
Okay. So your predictions for finalists.
Predictions for I'm hoping for France and Portugal.
France and Portugal. Okay. Even
if France lose cry, Mbappe will still win Ballon d'Or. They can't win it.
Vinicius. Well, you know what makes Vinicius win now?
No. If it wins, he won.
Charlie. Okay. So, dark horses.
Poland.
Poland.
Ooh, Poland. My
they've looked good from the Nations League up until the friendlies that they've been playing. And they have a good squad. Mm. They can worry. Well, I'm going to say Croatia, but Charlie Modric is past it. I don't think they will do survive this time. But.
Just so that they don't sack me from their country, Czech Republic. I don't lie. Check the good JDM quick. Dark horses. Netherlands, actually. I'll go Netherlands.
Me, I'll go with Turkey. I didn't give my predictions for the winners. Winners, yeah, France. Me, I'll be France guy, so me, yeah, I always will go for France.
And I'm just predicting for Kawawa. Winners, England.
The finalists, I'm going for England, France, just because England is on the easy side of the draw, assuming everything goes according to plan.
I will go to France, Germany, actually, for the final. I think England will make it to the final. I think England will make it.
Player of the tournament.
Mbappe.
Yeah.
Mbappe.
Captain of France, Mbappe.
Okay, me too. I'm also going with Mbappe just because I'm going for France to win it, so he has to be a French player. Mm. And then young player of the tournament, last one.
Cole Palmer.
Palmer, you go start it.
If he plays, João Neves, the Portuguese holding midfielder. That's if he plays. I'm not sure. It will be between him and João Palhinha, but if he gets
can
enough.
Can I change my prediction? Young player. What did they call him? Lamine Yamal. That one, yeah.
Okay, that was a good one. Me, I'm going with an obvious choice, Jude Bellingham, because I think England will make the final. So if they make
is
the final,
is he like 23 or something?
He's 20 or 21. The way they just start to.
All right.
So anyway, before we end this one, we are going to play a game of Who Am I. So for those who didn't listen the last time we played this game, we'll just give a few clues and you're supposed to guess which player it is. So this one, I'm going to start with Danny K, because my girl had run away from this one.
And he hit this game fast.
So I'm a German player. Since we are in Euros season, I'm going to use the Euros. So I'm a German player who started in the 2008 Euros final. I've played for Bayern Munich, Werder Bremen, and Dortmund. Who am I?
Bayern, Werder, and Dortmund.
Let me make it. I'm also a midfielder.
Charlie. Bayern.
Say lock. This is why I know they like this game.
wait. The way you mentioned the teams, is that the order of the career or like when?
Okay, the order is Werder Bremen, Dortmund and Bayern.
Werder Bremen, Dortmund and Bayern.
Midfielder.
Yeah.
2008.
Sorry, I don't know.
Vangera, you don't know.
Wait, make I think of Werder Bremen, midfielder.
Dortmund. Yeah.
2008.
Started in the 2008 Euros final.
I don't know. Who?
Thorsten Frings.
You'll be fucking guy, you. You tell me that they diss you. They say, make a note diss you. Who will be Thorsten Frings?
The guy get a long, he get some nice long
hair. You know, man, I won't talk say he get long hair, but as soon as I talk you on, I know say he go get him. So
you're the fucking guy.
You don't say like I would talk.
I was going to say myself closer.
But like the deep where I know. But I don't know. I didn't know he played for
Werder Bremen. Dortmund.
Yeah, I don't know.
Werder Bremen one is obvious, but as for the Bayern and those, yeah. So if I get that, me then I won't make your own heart. It depends. I feel like you won't know hard like that, but yeah.
Hard. You can't come. I don't play football manager. I don't know. Still
old for players. Yeah. Okay, so I'm an Italian player. I started in the 2012 Euros final. I played for AC Milan, Inter Milan, and Parma. Who am I?
AC Milan. Sometimes he start from Parma. Where go AC, where go Inter. That be there.
I didn't say that's the order moment.
He will not be position.
He's a striker.
Striker. He started in that.
Yes.
Who played me? Materazzi.
Yeah, Materazzi.
AC Milan. The Parma, sure, I don't know, but first, AC Milan and Inter. Who the name they hit at that time? That'd be how I'm crying.
Is he played for another team, but if I mention that team, people will get him. So if I mention the team, that one there, it wouldn't be Van Gaal alone. The person will answer him first.
Okay. Make a guess. I won't guess before. Is Balotelli? Okay,
no. Balotelli, I don't think he played for Parma.
He didn't play for Parma, yeah.
But he played for Inter and AC. Yeah, that'd be a good one. And he also started in that final. So,
who partnered Balotelli in that final?
Ah, Wait. Maybe Gilardino.
No. Actually, Gilardino also played for AC Milan and Inter, but he no start that far now.
Okay, you mentioned the team.
Wait, make no
mention. I go mention the team. Another team he played for.
Don't make no mention.
You don't forget the team. You say make no mention.
I have some name.
Which name?
Shot. Antonio Cassano. If you wrong or if you correct.
If you correct. It pay me so this guy get out. It pay me.
Let's go.
Okay, make as I give
talk,
bonus.
Say, as you talk, say, Balotelli to starts for that fight. And I say, who passed Balotelli? Then you be short guy. Then you be short guy.
2012.
Final.
Spain, Italy. Cassano starts the one.
Who was he playing for at the time? Then he played for Parma.
Who was he even playing for? 2012. AC Milan. AC Milan. 2011-2012 season. The following season, you go Inter. So you make I give one last bonus round.
You get the listeners of our question because the way you meow with them. I don't like Justin Frinks. So why know you fucking guy? Why you?
This one all serious.
Okay.
This one you the throw. This one go answer first.
This one I go make them easy. So I go you go, the person go answer first. Mm. So 2016 Euros final. I'm a Portuguese player. I started in the 2016 Euros final. I've played for Porto, Monaco, and Wolves. Who am I?
João
Moutinho. He said João Neves. Moutinho.
Oh, man.
So, anyway, we've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done this already, please follow us on our social media pages on Twitter and Instagram. It's ATWPodcastGCR. On TikTok is After the Whistle. YouTube, you can just search for After the Whistle Podcast. We are still trying to grow the YouTube because people hound me, so we start doing YouTube. Right now, when our podcast numbers rather than grow, the YouTube numbers, it just be stagnant. I don't know why they refuse to know.
Oh, the people, you open for go to YouTube. Like, share, subscribe. Yo, share the link.
So yeah, if you put no starts watching YouTube, we go stop do the video. So yeah, because so yeah, anyway, Charlie. Also, if you want to talk about the episode or anything, you can reply to our Twitter, Instagram, or you can also use the hashtag after
the
whistle.
Smiley the third. Sorry.
Smiley the third. You can use the hashtag after the whistle and just join the conversation. So Danike, thank you very, very much for joining
thank
us on
Danny,
this one.
Thank you, Danny.
We hope so we will get you on for more episodes in the future.
Oh, we go get them October. Ask Chelsea no day 16th to 18th. We go pull out. What is that? We go
pull out.
Come back.
So, if I get to text and thank hoping you. That next episode we go get Corey, KO, possibly Kawatu back. And Charlie, once again, thanks again for listening to this one. And ATW dominates the conversation.
This has been a Gold Coast Reports production. Catch up on episodes and discover more shows from our network on listen2gcr.com.